welcome. The time is short. Erev Shabbat. And we are we're starting a new Sefer. Sefer Shemot. In the beginning of the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the Sineh, and he has his first revelation. And Borei Olam commissions him to go take the people out of Mitznayim. And there's a give and take back and forth between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'ani yada'ati, I'm well aware, ki lo yiten etchem melech Mitzrayim lehaloch," that he's not going to let you go so easily. "V'lo biyad hazaka," because I'm going to strengthen his heart. "V'shalachti et yadi v'keti et Mitzrayim v'chonef le'otai." He's going to send you after I give him the makot. The pasuk says that on the way out, the Jews are going to find favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. Which is a chiddush in itself. All of a sudden, the anti-Semites that were hostile to the Jewish people for two centuries, all of a sudden, Hena'am. Vayaki telechun, lo telechu rekam. When you leave, you won't leave empty-handed. Besha'ala isha meshechenta umigarat beta. Kele kesef uchle zahav usmalot. So it says you'll borrow. Mesha'ala isha meshechenta, a lady will borrow from her neighbor. Megarat beta, kele kesef uchle zahav. Silver and gold ornaments and garments. It's interesting that all of a sudden now they're borrowing the garments. Usmalot, Egyptian clothes. It's not our discussion today. But you see over here, one of the things that says that the Jewish people were careful in Egypt was that they didn't change their clothes.
Right.
They kept their Jewish clothes. And over here it says that they took the Egyptian clothes. Usmalot. It's interesting. Even later on, if you go to Parashat Bo, in Perek Yud Aleph, in Parashat Bo, it's talking about when this actually materialized, this דבר נא באוזני העם וישאלו איש מטריהו ואישה מטריותה כלכסף וכלזהב. So it says over here that they actually went and they borrowed כלכסף וכלזהב from their Egyptian Egyptian neighbors. And what does the pasuk say later on? The pasuk says later on when they left, after the Torah gives us the laws of Korban Pesach, the Torah comes along and says, "Vayisam et beseko mishalotam serurot besimlotam al shechmam." ובני ישראל עשו כדבר משה, וישאלו ממצרים את פרק י"ב, פסוק ל"ה, כלי כסף וכלי זהב ושמלות. Again, שמלות. רש"י says in פרשת בו, שמלות אף הן היו חשובות להם מן הכסף, מן הזהב. Wow. The clothes that they took was even more important than the gold. Amazing thing. for all those years they told us, no, the Jews didn't care about the clothes of the Egyptians. And now you're telling me that Adrabah, they took so much clothes, and that was even more chashuv to them. There's a famous Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says in Parashat Ekev, one of the reasons why it says the clothes of the Jewish people never wore out when they were in the Midbar. Simlatecha lo baleta me'alecha. So he says the reason why the clothes never wore out because they took so much clothes of the Egyptians, that so much change of clothes, so it never wore out. He learns it very, not a miracle, very simple. There's an interesting Hatam Sofer to explain why they were so enamored by the clothes of the Egyptians over here. Usmalot, usmalot. He's Chas v'Shalom, not because of the wanting to be like the Egyptians. But there was an old custom, the Hatam Sofer says, that the victor of war would wear the clothes of the one that he defeated. That was a sign of victory. Yeah, look, I'm wearing their clothes. And the Jewish people would do that in order to remind themselves of the miracle that Hashem gave them victory. So the simalot over here was a symbol. It was not Chas v'Shalom to be like the Egyptians. That would explain, by the way, something else. That if you remember when Moshe Rabbeinu went to Yitro, Ahazach Baruch, so what did they say? The daughters of Yitro tell Yitro, Ish Mitzri Hetzilanu, an Egyptian national saved us. What do you mean? Moshe wasn't wearing Jewish clothes? Must be he was wearing Egyptian clothes. Why? So the Mefarshim, because he wanted to remember the miracle that God did for him in Egypt, that he defeated Egypt in the sense that he killed the Egyptian and he escaped. So therefore he wore the Egyptian clothes to say, I can't forget. So therefore, that was a custom. You have proofs throughout Tanakh that they did that. You remember Ahasuerus, for example. When he wanted to show a sign of defeat against the Jewish people, what did he do at the party? He wore the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. So the garments that a person wore, when you wear the garments of your enemy, that's already a signal. So Ahasuerus wore the clothes of the Kohen Gadol to say, I defeated the Jewish people, the temple's not going to be rebuilt. And there's other proofs to this concept over here. So therefore, the simalot were not a inyan to be like the goyim. Although I have a simple answer. I mean, I don't know. I have a simple answer. When is it a problem to dress like the goyim? When you're living with the goyim. When you're living with the goyim, then you have to show that you're different. But when the Jewish people went into the midbar, they're living alone. So there was a difference with the clothes they wear. Understand the point? Uh-huh. So therefore, the only problem of dressing like them is when you're with them. So you have to show that you're distinct. That you have to show that you're different. But once you go into the midbar, you're alone anyway. So what do I care what's the clothes? So they took simalot for the. Anyway, that's just a side point, in case of any of our members were bothered about that. Although nobody ever asked me that question, but if you were maybe one day going to be bothered with it in the future, we've now put that to rest. We've now settled that issue. But the real issue over here, Rabotai, I mean, also over here it says, "V'sha'ala isha mishichinta megerat beta kelekes v'okleza v'usmalot v'samtem al benechem v'al benotechem." Here it sounds like it was cheap stuff. You know, isha mishichinta grabda kelekes v'kazav usmalot, children's clothes. V'samtem al benechem v'al benotechem, kids' clothes, kids' wardrobe. Later on, when they leave Mitzrayim, then already the pasuk says, "Kelekezav klezahav usmalot." Doesn't say children's clothes anymore. I think I once saw from the Be'er Yosef. He said that this was a strategy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that will be able to clean out Mitzrayim from everything, because when the Egyptians chased Bnei Yisrael at Yam Suf, they adorned themselves with all their fancy garments and all that, because Paro opened up all his treasures, it says, and told the people, if you catch them, we're going to split all this money. So everybody went out with all their, decked out with all their gold, and so it was a big, and they got dressed up for that war. And that was a plan by God, that when they drowned, we got all that money. So therefore, we didn't need to take the expensive stuff when we were in Egypt, according to the Be'er Yosef, because that we were going to get on the way out. But nobody was going out with their children's clothes. So therefore, we cleaned them out for both ends. We got the cheap stuff in Egypt. We got the expensive stuff on the way out. And Ivantim, we made sure what they're not going to wear for the war, we took on the way out. Hey, clothes, small stuff, trinkets and things like that. On the way out, we got the real stuff. It was a total wipeout, as we call it in the English. That's why if you look at the Pasuk of here, it says, when they left Egypt, God's predicting, when you leave, lo telechu rekam, you're not going to go empty-handed, but you're not going to be rich. The wealth came at Yam Suf. Understand? Lo telechu rekam, you're not going to be empty-handed, but arechen yitzu b'rechush gadol, chush gadol would come later on, according to that opinion. All right, this is some diyukim that we're making in the Pasukim in order to reconcile. No, the main money they made was at Kiryat Yamsuf. They did take, yes, they took a lot, but not the real stuff, according to the Be'er Yosef. The real stuff, that was taken... Yeah, sure, sure, exactly. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, we got to go. We don't want to go yet. They're too busy collecting all the... Yaki Baruch Haba. Thank you for stopping sending us those morbid emails. We appreciate it. Hope you collected enough money so you don't have to send us those emails anymore. Hazak Baruch for your good work. In any event...
You should go out of business.
Yes, Bezat Hashem. No, you should go into a different business. I told him, Ms. Askim is going to be the ones that lead the Tehiyat HaMetim initiative. You know, when Mashiach comes, all these Tehiyat, who's going to deal with all the living? So now everybody's going to say, I want to do it. Where were you when we were dealing with the dead? The one that dealt with them when they died will deal with them when they're resurrected. The one that didn't care for them when they died, now you want, like one rabbi said, the one that celebrates Tisha B'Av can celebrate Purim. But if you don't do Tisha B'Av, you can't do Purim. These guys do Tisha B'Av, so they can do Purim. Mm-hmm. I once said that at a Ms. Askim dinner. It became an instant classic. In any event, the main question over here that we have to discuss and we have to reconcile it ASAP. What are we talking over here? You're not allowed to steal. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Well, the Ten Commandments actually was not talking about stealing, it was talking about kidnapping, but it's okay. The point is, lo tigzol, you can't steal. I think the Gaon, the Ya'abetz once said, that it's a shame, lo tigzol is not a minhag. Because if it was a minhag, everybody would keep it. It's only a law. You know. Everybody can't have a minhag. What's the minhag? What's the minhag? So here it says they're going to borrow from the Egyptians. Now we all know they had no intention of giving it back. So how do you borrow something and you know that you're not giving it back? This is called Geneva Da'at. This is called Gezel. How do we justify this ruse that the Jewish people did on the way out? Can I borrow your stuff? Right? And the assumption, we say, borrow. What is the assumption? When we're done, we'll give it to you back. And everybody's winking at each other. And what are they winking at each other? They're not getting it back. So how do you justify this? This scheme that the Jewish people orchestrated on the way out. Hazak Baruch. So yeah, easy answer. Finished. All right. So I'll give another answer that I saw in the Rashbam. We go one step at a time. The Rashbam. The Rashbam says, V'sha'ala isha m'shechinta. Rabotai, you speak Hebrew. What does the word v'sha'ala mean? To borrow. Sho'el. A sho'el is a borrower. Sho'el also means to ask. There are a lot of words that have double meanings. But here, it's v'sha'ala isha. Doesn't mean the isha will ask. No, she's not going to ask. She's going to borrow. V'sha'ala, she will borrow. That's what I always thought. But Rashbam reminds me of a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim is in chapter 2. Pasuk Het. We have a Tehillim book over here? Look at that. Talk about service. Open up chapter 2, pasuk Het. God says, She'al mimeni. Here it means, ask from me. Ve'etena goyim. And I will give you. So you see that the word she'al is used when something is being given as a matana. She'al mimeni ve'etena. Oh, so says the Rashbam. She'ala isha mishechenta b'matana gemura v'chaluta. So when they went to the Egyptians, they didn't say we're borrowing. They said, we want this as a conclusive gift. She'areh v'natati et hena'am. And that's what the Pasuk says, that we found favor in their eyes, that they were willing to say, take it. Kemo she'al mimeni v'etena goyim. He quotes the Pasuk. Ze ikar peshuto. This is the ikar pshat. So therefore, don't make a mistake all those years. Oh, borrow. We're not borrowing anything. It was matana gemura. Utshuva laminim. And this is a response to the heretics. To the heretics that come along and say, oh, those Jewish people, a bunch of sly guys, clever guys, they stole money at each other. Utshuva laminim. All the wise guys that want to claim that we did something underhanded on the way out. This is Utshuva laminim, he writes. This will answer the claim against the heretics. At least that's the opinion of the Rashbam. The PPP, how that Baruch?
They're saying, you know, that you
can
probably keep it.
I'm definitely going to keep it. That's this week's parasha. Right, it's a borrowing, but we all understand. They're winking with you. Keep it, no problem. B'sha'ala isha d'haskuni writes, b'matana gemura. Same thing like the Rashbam. Kemo she'al meni v'etena. Very good. So they have the same opinion. The Ibn Ezra, to your point, Yosef, Ibn Ezra makes your point. Ibn Ezra says, what are you on over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to take it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the owner of the whole world. Koneh HaKol. At any time he could say, you take this from him and you take that from him, who's going to tell God any... So therefore, since this is Apia Dibur, well, you don't have to... Ibn Ezra, like you said, George, he sidesteps the whole issue.
He does it all the time without telling you.
Which means, God tells in the first Pasuk in the Torah, Bereshit. Why does it start off with Bereshit? I created the world. Therefore, when the Goyim going to come later on and say, oh, the Jews took Eretz Yisrael, because it's my world. It's my land, and I decide who lives in the land. I'm the landlord. So I can evict the tenant at any time that I want to evict them, and I can put new tenants there as I see. Chazak Baruch. Chazak Baruch. So therefore, over here, Ibn Ezra understands it, like you said, Yosef. Correct. I saw over here, later on, in Yud Aleph Bet, oh, I saw another pshat, which I think is worthy to discuss, and that's the opinion of the Malbim. The Malbim actually is incredible. The Malbim, he comes along and he says, on the pasuk in this week's parasha, he makes a diyuk. He says, over here it's Sha'alaisha Meshechenta. Here we're borrowing or taking from the neighbors. Later on it says,
V'yishalu ish me'et re'ehu v'isha me'et re'uta.
Later on, it just says that we took from our acquaintances. Doesn't mention neighbors over here. So why in one place it mentions we took from our neighbors, and in the second place when we left Egypt, it says we just took from our acquaintances. So he says a tremendous chiddush. He comes along and he says, "Shebelechtam min haaretz," when they left Egypt, "Yebakshu me'et shechenehem begereb betam," they asked their neighbors, "Shehem yikhu lahem batehem," which means the Jews had houses in Egypt, and therefore they're not going to just leave their homes for the Egyptians for free. So therefore, on the way out, there was tremendous real estate deals going on, he says. The Jews came along and said, "We're leaving." So they went to their neighbors and said, "Listen, we got a house over here. You want the house? Kedekesef, klezahav, smalot." So Malbim said that money that they took was a sale. That wasn't any taking anything that didn't belong to them. "You got a house in return for the money that you gave us." He said, "They're not going to give the Egyptians the homes for free."
I was like,
"Cheap? I'm not cheap. We don't know the prices over there." So this is the first real estate deal, the first real estate situation ever took place. There was an exodus, like they say, where people move out of a town. There was an exodus, a legitimate exodus from Egypt. And therefore, all the market was flooded now with merchandise, almost like Manhattan. Uba'abur, shovi demeh batim, because of the value of the homes, yivakshu mehem kelekesem kelezahav. Ubazeh, the pasuk says, v'nitzaltem et Mitzrayim. What's v'nitzaltem? Kemo v'yatzel Elohim et b'knei abichem, she'ashem etzil. When Yaakov was by Laban's house, God saved Yaakov from Laban. So the Jewish people, was v'nitzaltem, you'll get saved. God will save you from the loss of your house. God saved them, v'nitzaltem. She'tatzilu miyad Mitzrayim et rechushchem. Otherwise, guys can say, "Hey, we left, but haram, we have to leave our homes." Only problem is, according to this, we have a question. Didn't God tell Avram that he can leave Rechush Gadol? Rechush Gadol sounds like windfall. This is not a windfall. This is you sold the house.
It's exchange.
So therefore, where's the Rechush Gadol? That's what the Malbim says later on when we left. The pasuk says, "Daberna v'yishalu ish me'et re'ehu." That Malbim's lashon af shelo mena shechinim. That was where the wealth came from. So there were two transactions that took place over here. The shechinim was selling the house, and then ish me'et re'ehu was tam that they cleaned them out, and that's where they acquired the. He says, "Shasheela shelakhu shelo mena shechinim." What they took from the non-neighbors, shehem lo tasigu davar temuratam. They didn't get something in exchange. In the neighbor transaction, there was an exchange, a house. Evanta? Fine. Now, the Madbim saying, but it was borrowed. He doesn't go with the other opinion. It was borrowed. So he said, it's true. Initially, it was borrowed. However, what happened? He says, when they left, and the Egyptians said, "Get out of here." Remember, the Egyptians said, "Get out of here." So implicitly, when they say, "Get out of here," means, "We're mohel. Get out of here, keep the money." So his lashon was, "Uba'eta yitzi'ah," the time that they left, "Shenet hadesh masha mitzim gurshu otam," they kicked them out, "legamre al menat shelo lashuv," they said, "Don't come back." "Imken hem ba'atzman mahalu ala kelim." They were mohel. So that's another... It's another mahalach. Nice mahalach of the Malbim. Malbim is always beautiful. Now we have over here Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Or HaChaim HaKadosh over here is an interesting one. He's on the pasuk over here. Or HaChaim HaKadosh is on the pasuk. Mish'ar Otam. Serurot besimlotam al shechmam, ubnei Yisrael asu kedbar Moshe min jayef en layech. Ubnei Yisrael asu kedbar Moshe, the Jewish people,
followed Moshe. What do you mean they followed Moshe? Vayish'alu mimitzrayim kele kesef kele zahav. And they took the money. So what does it mean, Ubnei Yisrael asu kedbar Moshe? So Hamad Gadosh is beautiful over here. He says, Perush, lo lahana'at ha-mamon, ela le-mitzvat navi. Why did they take the money of the Egyptians? Not because that hana'at mamon. It's because Moshe Rabbeinu said, take it. Ubnei Yisrael asu kedbar Moshe. Which means, the motivation of why they took the money is, they said, mitzvat hacham. The hacham told me to take it. And the Torah is testifying, it wasn't because they had a desire for money necessarily. But the Navi says to take it, you have to take it. Understand? Somebody tells you that today, don't believe them. Somebody says, hey, why are you running off all this money? The rabbi said, it's mitzvah to make money. Don't believe them. But here the Torah says, Ubnei Yisrael asu kedbar Moshe. But then he says another explanation. Ve'od yirtze al pi ma she'ela ha-Rambam. Rambam writes in Perek Tet, Melchot Yisodei HaTorah. There's a rule that says that if a Navi comes along and the Navi tells the people to transgress a sin from the Torah, the Navi is getting up and saying, Rabotai, I know this is asur from the Torah, but do it anyway. Do you listen to the Navi or do you put the Navi to death? Oh, so before you put him to death, you listen to him, the Rambam says. Baruch Abba Rabbeinu. Rabbi Friedman, Baruch Abba. Baruch Shehayyana B'kiyah, man. Kiyama Zeman Azeh. All right, we have work to do, Rabotai. We got a new sefer. We have work to do. My Friedman's new sefer, Tavshin Peh. So anyway, Rabbeinu, we're dealing with technical stuff today. We'll let the rabbi deal with the sweet, enjoyable stuff. Here we got involved in halakhic issues somehow. We fell into it. Now we're stuck, so we have to get out of it. Our issue over here is, how did they take the money of the Egyptians? What happened to Lo Tignob, Lo Tigzol, Genevat Da'at? So we're trying to reconcile the different opinions. Bnei Israel obviously are not going to do something on the way out that's going to be Isur. God's telling them to leave. Now you have a mitzvah, Baba Avira, on the way out. They're all Gezlanim now. All this money that they took is now is Gezel, is Asur. So we saw the Ora Chaim HaKadosh. He says on the Pasuk, Bnei Israel asu kedbar Moshe, Vayish'alu b'mitzrayim kele kesef ukle zahav. So Ora Chaim HaKadosh says in the first pshat, what does it mean Bnei Yisrael asu kedbar Moshe? That they took the money, but only because Moshe told them to take the money, not because they had a hana'ah of money. They did it l'shem shamayim. The rabbi told me to do it, okay. I don't care for the money. Second explanation, he quotes Harambam, and we go back to the case, Joe. If a prophet, a legitimate prophet, like Eliyahu Navi, gets up and says, Rabotai, I am well aware that this is asur from the Torah, but I am telling you to do it anyway. Do you listen to him or not? Harambam says it depends. If he says that I'm only telling you to listen to me at this moment, Hazak Baruch, Hora'at Sha'ah, Et La'asot La'Hashem Meferu Toratecha. But if the Navi comes along and says, there's no mitzvah anymore, I'm deleting this mitzvah, then you delete him. You delete him. They said, the mitzvah is not going anywhere. This is a false prophet. And you put him to death. What's the classic example? Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi came to Har Karmel. And he tells the people, build a Mizbeah on the mountain. You're not allowed to build a Mizbeah on the mountain. At that time, you cannot build these private Mizbehot. And he says, bring a Korban on it. Korban? Eliyahu Navi, you're well aware that if you bring a Korban outside the Mikdash, Yahayamita, I'm well aware, but for this one moment, we're going to do it. Harambam says, you listen to him. Says the Rambam, says the Acham Orachim HaKadosh, Chutz Me'Avodah Zarah. That's an exception. If the prophet comes along and says, bow to Avodah Zarah this one time, you don't listen. V'hu Umro. This is the golden language. Ubnei Yisrael Asu. Utsad ki ma'asehu ma'aseh bilti hagun. What Moshe Rabbeinu was telling him to do to take the money was something that was improper. Lignov da'at goy? To trick a goy is asur. Genevat goy, genevat da'at. Vegam ligzol mamonam. Basically, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them what? Steal the money. Ve'ech yatzdiku Yisrael la'omer lahem. How could they justify such a thing? La'avor avera kazeh. So the Yavara comes along and says, Ubnei Yisrael asu kedbar Moshe. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was a proven prophet. And since he was a prophet, Horat Sha'a. Interesting way of the Rahim HaKadosh. So he's saying, yeah, it was Gezel. It was Gezel, it was Gerebad Da'at. It's all the Averot, all bound up in one package. So what's the Heter? You know what the Heter is? Who gave the commandment? And Moshe is giving a Horat Sha'a. Therefore they said, listen, which means, if the president of the synagogue came and said, I have a good idea, we're going to take the money. Who are you to come and tell us that we can steal? No, everybody does it. Everybody does it, that's not a heter. But Moshe Rabbeinu is coming with his credentials. And what's the credentials of Moshe? A proven prophet. A proven prophet is not a story. So therefore the only heter that they allowed them to behave like they did was, they sasuked by Moshe. Oh, so we asked a simple question. We asked a simple question. We said, according to the first pshat of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, they didn't do it for the money. What drove them to take the money was only because Moshe Rabbeinu told them. And we asked, why shouldn't they want the money? Who doesn't want money? I mean, especially somebody that works for 200 years and you never got paid. You didn't get one bonus. You didn't get one paycheck, even minimum wage. Now you say to yourself, hey, it belongs to me. They had no hana'ah. Why? Because it was not hana'ah mamon. Why? Where do you ever see somebody who works and you don't have hana'at mamon, and when you x-ray them, the only reason that motivated to take the money was what? Bar Moshe. What's the pshat? By the way, usually when you tell somebody to take the money, you don't have to ask him twice. As you're talking already, he spent it already. Right? He has the money in his pocket, already he spent it. And as he's asking, he wants more. Any more of that?
Human nature.
So we explained it once, based on history. When the war was over in Nazi Germany, in Mashemah v'Zichram, so the Germans were obligated to make reparations of war. Whatever the reparations were. So a lot of the survivors, they told the Germans, keep your money. But you think because you're going to give us a discount on a Mercedes Benz, that's going to make it even? As if, okay, so now you're letting the Germans as if to say, well, listen, we paid them. We don't want you to have any way out. You cannot pay for this, what you did. So therefore, that's blood money. It's dirty money. Keep your money. We don't want your money. So the same thing in Egypt. For 200 years they're working. Now the Egyptians are on the way out. We'll pay you. Pay you? What do you think now? Now you're off the hook? Because you paid us a few dollars on the way out. We got a couple of dresses, Egyptian cotton dresses. And we got a couple of trinkets from the Egyptians, some papyrus. Now on the way out, that's it. See, they could say in the newspaper the next day, Egyptians make good. Make good? You killed how many thousands of Jewish children? Now you made good? So from the Jewish people, they said, we don't want the money. But Moshe had a different plan. Moshe Rabbeinu said, take the money. Don't ask questions. So, okay, Moshe, we don't want it. Dirty money, it smells. But you're the rabbi. You're the rabbi. Rabbi, the rabbi. We'll take the money. Because on their own, this money was taboo. This money was tainted. Understand? Only question that we have is, on Moshe, why make a Horat Sha'a over here? Why make a Horat Sha'a? You usually make a Horat Sha'a because it's a need. Et la'asot la'ashem. Rabotai. In Eliyahu HaNavi's case, it was a need. The Jewish people were going after the Avodah Zarah. Eliyahu Nehavi needed to make a drama to show the Jewish people that Avodah Zarah is sheker. So he needed to take a big place. He took a big hall. It was COVID, so he had to do it outside on the mountain. So therefore what happened? He had to make a big noise. Hurat Sha'a. And by the way, it worked. He brought the Korban, a fire came down from the heaven. The people said, Hashem wa Elohim, Hashem wa Elohim. It worked. So I understand. But over here, first of all, the Jewish people don't need any money in the first place. They're going to the Midbar. Where are you going to? Is there any kiosks in the Midbar? Amazon, they didn't have. What they need money for? No, Moshe Rabbeinu says, take the money. And how should you take it? Take it in this deceiving way. Take it in a deceptive way. It's okay, you're a prophet. You could suspend the law. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo Tigzol is temporarily suspended. Genevat Da'at is temporarily suspended. Listen, you're a prophet. You have the right to do that. Okay, and I'm asking on Moshe, why did you suspend it? Who asked you to suspend it? Why you have to suspend the law?
Because
he promised to Avot that he's going to steal on the way out? Borei Olam has many ways to get that money to the Jewish people. Beheter. Borei Olam wants to get that money from the Egyptians' pocket to our pocket and make it glat kosher bet Yosef. He knows how to do it. Here it seems Moshe Rabbeinu went out of his way and said, no. You steal it, and you're going to make it. So we explained it, Rabotai, according to the Gemara that we just learned in the Daf Yomi in Pesachim. The Gemara over there is discussing the mitzvah on Pesach to eat maror. You remember the Mishnah over there listed five different types of maror. And one of the marors over there was hazeret. And the Gemara said, my hazeret, what's hazeret? Hasa. It's called hasa. And the Gemara says that that's the best maror that you should try to eat because the Mishnah is listing them in order of priority. Later on in the Mishnah, it says tamcha. Our members over here from Europe know what the tamcha is? The horseradish. The Aruch HaShulchan says, what are they eating horseradish for? The Mishnah says, hazeret, mitzvah behazeret. Because in Europe, they didn't have hasa. So what are you going to do over there? There was no hasa. They had horseradish. That was the... You can only eat what you have available. You can't make abracadabra, make hasa where there's no hasa. So therefore, they have tamcha. But we always had the hasa. What's the reason why hasa is the main item? So it says, because there's a beautiful remez, the Gemara says. What's the remez? First of all, Shekadosh Baruch Hu has alenu. But Elam is has. Hasa, has. Has alenu. Strange. You eat the maror. Maror is not where Hashem was has. The has was on the, or maybe on the matzah when we left. Why are we reminding ourselves that Hashem has alenu on the maror? The maror is not the has. Have I answered the question? So the answer we said is based on what the Abter Rav said. He said a tremendous remez. He said the Jewish people were supposed to be in Egypt for 400 years, as you know. But we were there less than half the time. How? Because we worked so hard that we were able to pay the debt off in double the time. In half the time, I should say. Imantem? You know what it's like? A person has a 30-year mortgage. A 30-year mortgage is very expensive, long time. And he comes along and he tells his wife, he says, listen, for the next 10 years, we're going to live very, very modestly. And any extra dollar we have is going to the mortgage. Don't ask me to go to Florida. Don't ask me to go on vacation. Don't ask me to go out for dinner. Don't ask me for jewelry. Don't ask for nothing. Bare minimum. Finish. We're going to live 10 years like this, bizarre. And what every day they take, they pay. And all of a sudden, in 10 years, the mortgage company says, look at this, a 30-year mortgage. You paid it in 10 years. Say, wow, but we suffered. But that suffering is worth it. Look at that. We paid the mortgage up. But now for the rest of our lives, we're free. Understand what happened? So the Jewish people had a 400-year mortgage. And they were able to pay the 400-year mortgage in 190 years. But why? They had to make extra payments. They had to make a lot of extra payments. So therefore, the Vaymariru et Hayehem actually was a good thing. Especially that we know that if we would have stayed another minute in Egypt, we never would have left because we would have fell into the 50th level of Tumah. So actually, it was a good thing that we paid it early. So therefore, actually, Vaymareru et Chayim was has, was a nyan of mercy. You understand? So the Abter Rav said that if you look at the words Vaymareru et Chayim in this week's parasha, there's notes on it. There's ta'amim. What's the ta'amim on Vaymareru et Chayim? We call it as lagerish. Vaymareru et Chayim. Ashkenazim call it kadma ve'azla. What does kadma ve'azla mean? Kadma means they early. Kadma, kodem. Azla means to go. So kadma ve'azla means halchu kodem. Why is that the notes of Vaymareru et Chayim? So he says because that's the ta'am. Vaymareru et Chayim, since their life was bitter, kadma ve'azla, they left early. So the ta'amim is explaining the text. Understand? Kadma ve'azla. Why kadma ve'azla? Because Vaymareru et Chayim. But then he adds the cherry on the top of the cake. He says, if you take the numerical value of the word kadma, kof, dalid, that's 104, mem aleph,
145.
So 145. Okay, that number doesn't mean anything to you. Ve'azla, vav, aleph is 7, zayin is another 7, that's 14, lamed aleph, ve'azla, lamed aleph is how much? 31. How much is that?
45.
Oh, 145 and 45 is how much? 190. That's how many years we left early. Kadma ba'azla gematria 190. So it's telling us how many years we left early. Kadma ba'azla, how many years? Gematria kadma ba'azla. Why? Because my mother would hire him. That's the Gemara says. Has. Shehasak al-baruchu alayhu. That's why the custom on Leil Pesach is to dip the maror into haroset. Make up your mind. Haroset is sweet. Because we're trying to say that even in the merirut, there was a metikut. Even in the maror, there was a silver lining in the maror. There was a good time in the maror. We explained it now differently. The Gemara says, why should you eat hasa more than any other of the vegetables? Because there's a similarity between the vegetable called hasa and paro. When you eat the hasa, you remember the scheme of paro. What do you mean the scheme of paro? How do you remember paro? Hazak baruch. The Gemara says that hasa, when you plant it in the ground, in the beginning it grows, the leaves are soft. And then as you leave it, what happens? It becomes difficult and hard like a rock. The stalk becomes hard. This maror starts off soft and then becomes, that's the way it grows. There's certain ways vegetables grow. Why would that remind you of paro? Because Rashi tells us, amazing Hiddush, Rashi on the place in Pesachim says, what? Yeah, Pesachim here, bring my Gemara. I have it here, I have it here, I have it here. Look at this, Menashe Maim, I have it right over here. Look at over here. Oh, Rabotai. Let's see where it says over here. Page 39. Elu yirakot she'adam yotze bem yedei chavato b'pesa b'hazeret. The Gemara says, hazeret hasa. And then the Gemara comes along and says, מדבר בחזרת, ואמר רבא, מהי חזרת? חסה. מהי חסה? דחס לחמנה אל לבן. אמר רב שמואל בן נחמני, אמר רב יונתן, למה נמשלו מצרים כמרור? The Egyptians are analogous to מרור. לומר, מה מרור זה שתחילתו רך וסופו קשה? אף מצרים תחילתן רכה וסופן קשה. So to the Egyptians are like the maror. What does that mean? Rashi says. Unbelievable Rashi. Bethila nishtabedu lahen al yedei sakhar shehayu sokhrin otam. You remember how the work started? Paro came along and he said, Rabotai, we have over here an opportunity. Whoever wants to make money, meet in the fields of Egypt tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. Make money, who doesn't want to make money? And already they leaked it in the newspapers. This is part of the government's plan. They leaked it in the newspaper the day before that the government's be willing to pay a lot of money. There was money earmarked for projects, and they're going to pay a lot of money for people who make bricks. People said, making bricks, making a lot of money. Great. All the Jews went. They want to make money. And they come along and say, okay, listen, we want to give you $100 a brick. $100 a brick? Yes, listen, we have a lot of money from the excess and surplus, and we need to build these buildings ASAP, and we're going to have people that are going to count how many bricks you make so we can pay you. So the first day, the Jew makes 1,000 bricks. 1,000 bricks. He doesn't tell you. His wife says, I'm not coming home. I'm not coming home today. I'm going to make 1,000 bricks. They do the Hashbon, 1,000 bricks times 100. The government writes him a check for $100,000. The guy says, in one day, I made $100,000 over here. Look at over here. This is incredible over here. Now they have it documented that this guy is capable of making 100 bricks. Now the next day, and Paro, by the way, was with them. Paro was there in the beginning too, working. They say, Paro's working. It's a government project. Even the king is working. All of a sudden, the next day, they came along and said, listen, of course, they don't say it clearly. Tell them, listen, you know what? It was such a success, the project. There's no more money. In one day, we ran out of money. Oh, so the Jews said, okay, we'll see you. I'm going home. No, you're not going home. We ran out of money, but we got to get the project done. So no, we didn't sign up to do volunteer work for the government. No. Not only are you going to do volunteer work, but we have you down that yesterday you made 1,000 bricks. And we know it because we checked your bank account, you cashed $100,000 check over there. Now we're ready, you're going to make 1,000 for free. And the next day, what happened? Later on, you're going to make 1,000 bricks, and we're not providing you with the straw. You got to go get your own cement. And before you know it, he roped us in becoming Abadim. And let me tell you another secret. All the checks bounced. So don't think we got any money from them either. He gave them the check, deposited on Tuesday. By the time Tuesday came, the government went bankrupt. We didn't get any money from him, and we didn't get any benefit from him. So I want to ask you a question. Just like Paro started the process in a soft way, like they say, Avodat Parich, Perach. What is Perach? A soft tongue. From the soft tongue of Perach ended up becoming what? Parich. So to Maror. The Maror that we eat starts off soft, but then it gets hard. So it reminds us of Paro. You ever hear the saying, Rabotai Midah Keneged Midah? You ever hear the saying? Tit for tat. What goes around comes around. Moshe Rabbeinu says, all the makot that we gave to the Egyptians is midah keneged midah. And the Midrash goes along one by one. Dam, they didn't let the Jewish ladies go to the mikveh to purify themselves from dam nidah. Good, you don't let us go to the mikveh? The whole thing is going to become dam. Every mikveh in Egypt became dam now. You don't let us go to the mikveh out of water? Here's the dam. You didn't let us purify from dam nidah? Here's the dam. Sefardeya. They made us scream when we were working. They were beating us. You like screaming? Quack, 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 quack. Somebody there screaming all day long. They couldn't take the each makkah, they didn't look like a shower. The lice on us. You want us to make us dirty? Hine, kinim, now go have lice. Every makkah was a midah keneged midah. God says, you went after my firstborn child. Beni bichori Yisrael. Now we're going to go after your firstborn child. Everything mamash God does, God is exacting. Anybody that thinks that God lets things slide, it doesn't. The Midat Adin is Mishpatecha Tehom Rabbah. The judgment of God goes very deep. So on the way out, Moshe Rabbeinu says, wait. We're not done yet. We need to punish the Egyptians for that trick that they did on us. On the way in, they made Ginevadat. On the way in, they came along and said, no, we're going to pay you. Come, it's government. They never paid for that. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, now's the time for Hora'at Sha'ah. Now's the time that we need to make an exception of the law. Go tell them you're taking the money. Go tell Moshe, it's stealing. Not stealing, everything's stealing. I know it's stealing. This, I have a higher purpose over there. This is an honest for the Egyptians for what they did to save the Kavod of Bnei Israel now. The Egyptians have to pay for this also. Even though they might not have understood why Moshe Rabbeinu was doing it, they said, if he's that Tamir Hakam, there must be a good reason why he's telling us to do this over here. And therefore, the Midah Keneged Midah, they started the exile with a Geneva Da'at, and we ended it with a Geneva Da'at.
with the same item that they started. We said, Paro, I want to bring you back 210 years. Deja vu. Sound familiar? Now you know how it feels to get tricked. Now you know how it feels to get duped. What you did to us, to our great-grandfather, which started this whole mess. Now on the way out, we tell you, arrivederci. But before we leave, we're going to give you a taste of your own medicine. And therefore, they said, asuket ba Moshe, they followed Moshe's hora'at sha'ah, which was a necessary hora'at sha'ah, in order to establish the midah kenegd midah. What do we learn from this orabotai? The lesson of this is that even though we have a strong question of how they took the money, there's yishuvim to this over. You shouldn't think, chas v'shalom, that the Jewish people did anything against Dalakha. With a rabbi like Moshe, you think he's going to allow them to make something compromised on the way out? So therefore, we had the different yishuvim. Either we explained it according to the Rashbam that says they didn't take it as a borrowing. V'sha'ala is a matana. It was a gift. It was a matana gemura. Or according to the way the Malbim explained. No, they gave them the money for their houses. Who's going to pay for their houses? They left all that real estate for the Egyptians, so it was just a compensation for the houses. You want to buy my house? So they went to their neighbors, because the neighbor gets the house. And therefore, they were able to say, this is not money that we stole. Adama, you got a house, I got your money. Then they got some more money on the way out. The Malbim says, because they were mochelet. There's other reconciliations, Rabotai, to this question. We won't go into them now. Some will explain it that it was avedah midat. There's a law in the Gemara b'Mitzvah. What if a person? No, avedah midat. Avedah midat means, what if I take an object and I throw it in the street? A guy sees it. A guy sees me throwing my eyes in the street. Okay. Right. So then another guy comes along and says, the guy throwing it in the street. For sure, he made the usha and he's throwing it in the street. So according to somebody shonim, it's a machloket actually, Rambam the Abad, some hold, you can take it. Avedah midat is mutar. Because the guy's throwing it in the street. So someone has said that that's what happened with Klai Yisrael over here. When we left Egypt, they're giving us the money. They know we're leaving. They know that we're leaving. We're coming back. Where are we coming back? Which guy in his right mind that leaves Egypt is going to come back and U-turn and go back to what? To become slaves? So by giving it, it's like they're throwing it in the street as Medina Avedam. So my point is, however you're going to reconcile it, but there always is a clear understanding of how we did it according to the halakha. But more importantly, you learn the lesson of how exacting HaKadosh. And that's why we eat the hassa on Pesach. When you eat the maron on Pesach, you have to remember this whole derash over here, that it started soft and ended difficult, and therefore we eat the maron. And in Paro's case, it ended in the same way it started. Chavod, Rabbi Pinchas. Continue the derash.
We have a custom, a minhag.
A good minhag. Shabbat shalom.
We have a minhag to not to prepare, but to continue the shiur of a mental shalita, and we will talk about the question, which is a very strong question. And so we know one of the biggest terutzim of the Gemara says that they told Alexander Mogdon, we worked. It's you have to pay. But the question has another twist in it. So they deserve the money. But why does the Pasuk say in Parshas Bo, it says over here too, but over there it's more clearly, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber na be'oznei ha'am, v'yishalu ish me'etre'eyu v'isha me'etre'uta. They should borrow. After they got makot b'chorot, they didn't need to borrow. Pay me what we were, they would give them everything, just leave us alone. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that his chotemet, his stamp, his seal, his emet, tells them to do something that they didn't need to do? Why borrow when they didn't intend to pay it back? So there are Rishonim that say that Vayishalu in Lashon Kodesh has two perishim. One is to borrow and one is to ask. For example, Achat Sha'alti Me'et Hashem. One thing I begged from, not I borrowed. Shaila, but Lashon Kodesh, sometimes it's borrowing
And sometimes it's begging. But why does he say in a Lashon that interpretates in two ways? So in order to, we're going to say it in short, we're going to check into in this parsha, it says, Vaymoreru et chayeyem b'avodah kasha, b'chomer, uvilveinim, b'chol avodah b'sadeh, et kol, v'chulei. There's a known mamar on Zohar HaKodesh, I'm sure Rabbi Mitzvah spoke about it many years ago, probably. The Zohar says, Vaymoreru et chayeyem b'avodah kasha, hard work, da kusha. They asked a kusha in the Gemara, like Rabbi Mitzvah asked a pilpul. Bechomer, da kal vachomer. Kal vachomer, it's mentioned in the Gemara. Ubelvenim, libun halacha. They clarified halacha. Ubechol avoda, zu mishnah. They learned mishnayas. Basadeh za baraita. So what happened? They didn't have the Torah. What did the Zohar say over here? But the Zohar teaches us an unbelievable lesson, which is very relevant for nowadays. The question is, we know that Klal Yisrael went into Galut Mitzrayim in order to prepare for Kabbalat HaTorah, to refine, to be Mizdakech with the Yisurim. What happened with Shevet Levi? Shevet Levi didn't work. The Rambam says it was the custom. They learned in Kollel all day. What happened? So the Teretz is unbelievable. They all learned, when Yaakov Avinu was alive, Yaakov Avinu said, they all were learning. But then came Paro and went in the Kollel and the Yeshiva. That's what are you guys learning in the Kollel? You're getting a few dollars over here, a little bit of food. Come work for us. We're going to pay you. Beperach, right? Rabbi Menzel mentioned it. Vayavidu mitzvah beperach. They began convincing, what do you go to Rabbi Menzel Shir in the morning? Run, make a few dollars more. But Tipesh, that's the Yetzer Hara. If you learn, you have more Siyata Dishmaya. I always say the guy didn't learn, and then he had to pay the bill for the doctor. He says, what a mazal that I didn't learn. Tipesh, if you would learn, you didn't go to the doctor. So what's the deal? What's the deal of a Shevet Levi when the Mitzrim came by Perach and said, come work for us. Contractors are going to teach you how to build and we're going to pay you. They said, no, we're learning. They stopped by Perach. The other ones didn't. So the Zohar HaKadosh teaches us that everybody needs Galut Mitzrayim. Everybody needs to be a Mizdakech from his Avonot. Said, Vaymoreru et chayeyem, there were that did it literally. But Shevet Levi did the Koshi Hashibut in learning. Vaymoreru b'avodah kasha b'kusha kal v'chomer instead. So I said that's what the Matan Torah Kodesh Baruch said to us. V'ata im shamoa tishmau b'koli v'yitem li zgula mikol amim. One of the tzaddikim says, I think Rabbi David Lelever, he says, Mazes gula nekudat segol. Segol is three. Wherever you turn it, what's a segol? So I said, Vayavidu Mitzrayim et mere beperach. The chokhmah is when the yetzerarach comes. What's the difference between beperach or befarech? That's a segol, that's a kabetz. Says, Vayitem nizgula, have the sense when the yetzerarach comes. Beperach. Then don't listen to Segol. Then don't listen to him. So I say that what the Kaddish Baruch Hu said, we know that Yaakov Avinu, we're finishing off. Yaakov Avinu waited to deal with Esav. I'm taking Olam Haba, and you're taking Olam Hazeh. I'm just going to eat how much. So the question is, how are we allowed to make Sudot? Okay, it's all preparation for Limud HaTorah. But one of the reasons is, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he made a tnai. He said, "Im yekablu Yisrael et haTorah mutav v'imlav." If you accept the Torah, then the world is worth creating. If not, we're going to make charuv devar. If we accepted the Torah, we were matzel et haolam mizuto shel yom. The Gemara says, if the ocean came and swept away somebody, and somebody was matzil, it's his because Yush. So we saved the world by accepting the Torah. We saved the world. And we're koine dechde olam hazeh too. But in Mitzrayim, it was only alone.
Before Matan Torah.
So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, V'yishalu. V'yishalu has two interpretations. You can ask it for a matana, but dabene ba'oznayam. Tell them in the ozen. Why in the ear? It's a secret. You ask the Mitzrayim, I want my payment. But secretly they should know that it's only a loan. Will they learn Torah and accept the Torah? They keep it. If not, it's only a loan. Why is it relevant? Because even those who work all day, they need to be kaveya itim l'toyre. They need to learn in the morning, the little, and nobody loses anything. They're just gaining siyata d'shemaya. And this is the vaymoraru as chayeim in this time and this day, to learn Torah morning and night. And mark that. I once made a deal with somebody. I said, you know exactly your budget. Start learning. Let's make it see if at the end of the year. Are you gonna? Yes, and it was Zerman Marviach.
That's it.
So this is.
Hazak uvaruch.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Fantastic. My pleasure.
The Segula Rabba. The Segula.
Amen.
Thank
you.